listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
First, you gotta have respect. Money comes next. After you get those, come the hoes and the sex. Girl, you keep asking about the niggas in my crew. Yeah, I'm down with the pool, but what's up with me and you? Cause I don't give a fuck who your cousin who could fuck. Cause I just wanna fuck. Damn, I wanna fuck. So unlock the gate and make room for the heavyweight rapper, the slim light-skinned coochie slapper. Pull over to the side so I can roll up the endo. Got the bitch head bumping on the front window. Wham, bam, I spank your ma'am. I wonder how I make these rubbers from the skin of a lamb. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast with y'all's Rod and
Karen. I got that same question.
Mm-hmm. How do you make the rubbers from the skin of a lamb? Mm-hmm. And we are live. That's right, guys. You can catch us on Crowdcast. They have an app on the iPhone now. So if you want to check us out, just, you know, search the Black Guy Tips and follow us. They send you a nice little email every time we get ready to go live. I think you can even make it send you one when we schedule a show, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. So there's a lot of ways to get in contact with the show and to be heard and to come to the chat and hang out with us. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher and leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's sponsor is Tweaked Audio. That's right. TweakedAudio.com is trying to help you get some better sounds going. Okay. They have all different kinds of styles of headphones. My favorite being the Hegones. And they come in different colors. You have mics, not mics, you know, work with your iPhones and your smartphones and stuff. They have noise reducing designs. They have ones that go in your ear, over your ear, around your ear, whatever you want. They got it. Just go to tweakedaudio.com and they're trying to hook you up if you're listening to the Blackout Tips. If you put in code TBGWT for the discount code when it's time to check out, they'll take a third off of your headphones. Plus, they'll give you free shipping, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. TweakedAudio.com is where you got to go to get this taken care of. So tell them we sent you. All right. Let's talk about different things that are happening in the world today, okay? I guess the first news, the biggest news, I guess, for a lot of people is Kanye West was put into a mental health facility it was like his personal physician. So okay,
so somebody that's designed, like, this is their job.
Yeah, right. Apparently he was exhibiting some erratic behavior. They said some things like he tried to fight somebody at a gym employee. You know, so they were kind of worried about some of the things he had been saying and stuff. You know, the physician called 911. He told the dispatcher that Kanye wasn't violent, but he might become violent when the police arrive, which, whew, anytime you say that about a black person, I get scared, because you just know, when you never know when the cops is going to show up and kill you. Dr. Michael Farzam told the dispatcher that his patient's name was Jim Jones, 39 years old, 5'8 and 175 pounds, and suffers from temporary psychosis due to sleep deprivation and dehydration. At the time of the arrival, the doctor told police that he had placed Kanye on 5150 psychiatric hold. After Kanye tried to assault a gym staff member, as per protocol, Kanye was handcuffed to a stretcher. It was unclear whether Kanye's physician really placed him on 5150, so... at 5150, I believe, is like when it's basically like a psychotic emergency, like they just hold you for observation and shit like that to make sure you're okay. Mm-hmm. There's other article says Kanye feels like he's under a spiritual attack, from BravoAlert.com, source of all celebrity news. On Monday afternoon, Kanye West was taken to the hospital for undisclosed reasons. Now, according to People magazine, we're learning new details. The source tells People that Kanye was hospitalized due to exhaustion. He's exhausted and currently dealing with sleep deprivation. He went to the hospital at will under the advice of his physician. He's fine. The source reveals that Kanye has been going through a lot for a while, especially since the recent anniversary of his mother, Donda West's passing. Yeah, people were saying that too. He feels like he's under spiritual attack and has been for a while. It's not just the big things, the smaller, quieter things, internal things. You might think that it's about Kim's robbery, and while that didn't help, that's not what's going on here. He's dealing with a lot more subtle issues, the source tells people. His mother died in November, so this time of year always brings him a lot of pain. He keeps that pain internalized, but sometimes we'll talk about how hard this time of year is for him. He works through the pain every November. The source said although he was hospitalized for being physically tired, he is also emotionally tired. He feels like he is trying to, this is a trying time for his spirit, but that can be a good thing. He isn't one to run away from these things. He leans in and listens and comes away stronger, better man, but it hurts him. His spirit is vexed, but that's where growth comes from, the source says. Sometimes darkness creeps in and Kanye wrestles against it. He talks about that a lot. It's exhausting and it takes, I wonder who the source was. I'm assuming Nick Jew. It takes everything he's got. He's just so tired now. He's very low energy and feels like there's a grieving in his spirit. It's very hard to explain, but something has happened recently where he's not the yay that everyone knows. So I don't know, man. It's always so many rumors and so much speculation, you know, like, people were fighting all goddamn day on Twitter. Like, I mean, you really would think they know this dude. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know him. He's a person, but we know of his work. We know some of the things that he says in the, but we don't know him. We don't live with him. Mm-mm. We're not his psychologists. Right. We don't, like, I don't know enough about this dude to be, you know, making these observations and arguing with people over it. Like, honestly, people can say anything at this point. I'm just like, how the fuck would I know, you know? But you know, people are, I've just been seeing people speculate and just kind of make shit up all day, and you know, whatever's happening, it's probably best that he's getting help for whatever it is,
right?
And just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's all to me that's most important. Like I said yesterday, I want to continue to say this. He's a very polarizing person, and every time his name brought up, no matter what it is, you had these two camps that come out the woodwork when a lot of people are very neutral about Kanye. But you know, these two camps are normally out of camps to be fussing and fighting and going at each other.
Yeah. Which it's funny because I'd say a good 75% of these people are people that say they don't care about Kanye.
Right,
and
just like they don't care about Kim, but you can tell me everything fucking about her.
Which is weird, because I wonder if that just, we just talk because we can talk, you know, like, maybe they really don't care, but they just, it's just the thing to talk about today, you know?
True, and like I said, I function completely different than a lot of people, because if I say I don't care, I separate myself and I don't give a fuck. I don't follow it. I'm not keeping up with it. I don't have to watch it. But a lot of people say they don't give a fuck, but they still attentive to it. Well, then you care. Like, in my the way I function, you still goddamn care. Because if you did not care, you really wouldn't keep up with it. How can you tell me you don't give a fuck about somebody, but you can tell me everything that they're doing, every way that they're being, every snapshot they take? I'm tired of all this shit being in my face. Well, maybe I've done a very, very good job on social media to get a lot of that shit out of my timeline, so I don't know every step these people make. I don't follow, I don't click, I don't, you know, I separate myself, because when I say I don't care, I literally do not give a fuck.
Yeah, and get offended enough to like argue about it.
Right.
Like, who's that invested in this shit? Like, it's just, I don't know. I think if someone had dealt with an actual mental health thing, crisis in their actual real life, I don't know that you get so speculative or so like how can you be so resolute on anything? We don't know.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, everybody's different. We don't really know what the fuck happens to people, you know? I don't know.
Right. You know? And I think too, because of the internet, because of the age of the internet, a lot of people just like to do that shit just because. Even if you have had mental episodes, everybody's mental episode is completely different. Everybody responds different. Everybody reacts different. Everybody is different. But, you know, a lot of people are just quick to just diagnose people when, honestly, you don't know shit about medicine. You don't know shit about any of this shit. You ain't went to school for it. You're not educated in any of these fields. You're just going based off of how you feel.
Yeah. So, anyway, I hope he hope he gets the help he needs, and I hope he at least, you know, gets refreshed and feels better. Most Def, speaking of feeling better, he's finally being allowed to leave South Africa. He was facing some serious charges. He was accused of fraudulent travel documents to allow he and his family to live in Cape Town, South Africa for several years. Unfortunately, his family's visas expired in 2014. He goes by Yasin Bey now, but he used to be Mos Def. Yasin Bey also tried to leave the country using a World Government of World Citizens passport, which is not recognized. He was arrested at the airport and faced charges of using false identity, aiding and abetting his family to stay illegally in South Africa. The case that had Mos Def tied up for the most of 2016 is finally over, and he's unreservedly apologized to the government of South Africa. The rapper and his family will finally be able to leave the country. In a statement, the country's Home Affairs Department said they were satisfied with the apology and will withdraw the charges against him. However, the department also asked Mos Def will be barred from re-entry into the country. Shit. I wonder what that means about coming back to America. I'm like, I guess if he coming, he need to do it before Trump get in here.
You better, because you will not be able to make it back into this country.
Yeah,
you'll be considered a refugee.
Man, I did not know about this. This is crazy that I didn't know about it, but apparently it's been going on the whole time. The game.
Yes.
He's been ordered to pay a $7 million settlement to a sexual assault accuser after attempted to delay the trial because he said he had a sore tooth. He is ordered to pay $7 million to a woman who accused him of sexual assault. The judgment came after a last-ditch effort by the hip-hop star to have the trial delayed as he was allegedly suffering from a sore tooth, but that was denied. An Illinois judge instead ruled the performer, real name Jaceon Terrell Taylor, will have to pay Priscilla Rainey hefty damages for assaulting her while shooting a reality show in 2015. According to TMZ, the judgment was made against him last week for $7.13 million. The 36-year-old, who made no mention of the decision on the social media feeds, is planning to appeal the decision. Legal papers previously revealed the How We Do star was accused of sexually harassing the glamour model several times, including forcibly reaching his hand inside of her dress to rub her bare vagina and buttocks. The judgment was made after his legal maneuver to delay the trial over a bad tooth infection failed. The star's dentist wrote a letter last week saying he should not travel to Illinois for the trial as the infection was affecting his mouth and sinuses. Mm-mm. And like, he took a picture in a dentist chair, and that shit did not work.
Wouldn't have worked for me either.
During the trial, the judge denied Rainey access to gain financial records to find out his net worth, which is said to be about $22 million. It is far from the first time the game has found himself in legal hot water. He was arrested in 2015 because he got in a fight at a basketball court and punched an off-duty police officer. The previous year, he and fellow hip-hop star T.I. got into a standoff against L.A. PD officers in a car near a super club in Los Angeles, apparently due to miscommunication as they thought their friends had been fighting with the lawmen. No arrests were made. Man, 2012, after losing the final appeal, he was ordered to pay $5 million in damages for defaming five police officers who arrested him in North Carolina in 2005. He claimed they overreacted and he had done nothing wrong, while police said he and his sidekicks had surrounded lawmen in a threatening manner. He's sentenced to 60 days in jail, 150 hours of community service, 3 years probation, and pleading no contest to a felony weapons charge in 2008 after allegedly threatening someone with a gun at a basketball game. Man, he's that dude, huh? Pull out the gun at the court. He was refused entry into Canada in 2011 due to alleged gang ties. Yo, I had no idea he even had this trial going on.
Like, this has been quiet.
That's like a lot of people's, you know, fave. Like, he took a picture with his dick about hanging out, and people was like, girl. Like, I was like, yo, am I the last to know or the first to know? Like, why is this? How was this not news before then?
I don't know. And all I know is he just the game. He a rapper called the game. That's about it.
Yeah. So. All right, let's see what else is going on. Ray J and Chris Brown dropped a song that is dissing Kim Kardashian called Famous. Here's the thing. I guess Ray J not moving on. Like, every time he can make this point, he's gonna do it, which is kind of ironic because, you know, Kanye don't move on from his exes. It's all like this weird meta karma type thing.
Maybe it's just me, and maybe this is the kind of woman I am. If you just got married, why the fuck are you obsessed about another woman?
I mean, that's the same way people feel about Kanye and that Amber Rose shit.
Right, like,
you know, like, why haven't y'all moved on yet?
Because the other person has.
It's funny though, because like Kanye shit be going platinum, and then Ray J be dropping these like 200 hits on YouTube videos just to get it.
It ain't the same, baby.
Let's see what his song.
He's still making money off that sex tape, but you know that and your album sales are not the same.
Yeah, basically. Let's see what this sounds like.
Listen to this track, bitch.
Oh, first of all, that is very demanding.
Ain't it though? I mean, we starting off on a very aggressive foot.
I guess I gotta listen. I mean, you gonna call me a bitch. I mean,
you press play.
The floor is yours, Ray J.
I mean, you get cussed out from the start.
Listen to this track, bitch.
Name on a check, niggas fucking propane on the jet, bitches doing cocaine on the jet. Fuck all the haters, shit, how did you see me? Big wheels, I'm whipping a Lamborghini. I see you act like I ain't nobody. Trying to fuck a nigga high, but your issues. Talking about, baby, I miss you.
Listening to me too, and I'm about to put you in your place.
You think a nigga wanna test you, but I've been through it's too much off of this bitch.
Damn, right. And now that you cry when you're going to sleep every damn night. Damn life. And I ain't gonna cry cause I'm fucking around and make another one. Famous. Make another one. Famous.
I swear, Mona Scott's fucking studio has the same engineer and the same beat for every track. This shit sounds just like Good Lotion, just like every other R&B song that's supposedly come out of the Love and Hip Hop camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not gonna make a hit, man. What's going on, Ray J? He used to be the man with the hits. You know, people can hate if they want, but wait a minute was dope to me.
Come on, wait a minute, was Flames.
Mm-hmm. Sexy Can I fuck with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he not making them memorable, them tracks no more, man.
Mm-mm.
Make another one famous.
Oh no.
And why is Chris Brown even on this?
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do
rap
with
singing,
it?
Right? Like, that's I call that rap singing talking combo that people like to do.
I'm not gonna front. This is terrible. I'm not listening to the rest of this.
Oh no, this is bad. If that's the case, I'd rather listen to a Sexy Can I.
Yeah, if you gonna diss somebody, you gotta come harder than that, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's
all I'm asking. Sabra, the hummus people.
Mm-hmm.
They're recalling their products over listeria concern.
I heard that. I haven't had any hummus in a while, but when I do eat hummus, that's some very good hummus.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, make sure you guys Google that if you got some hummus sitting in your fridge.
Yeah, they're like the number one. You know, I mean, it's other hummuses that they probably other hummuses that's better quality. I probably need to check other out, but that one is kind of the ones that most Americans quote unquote know. I'm pretty sure you talk to people that are more into hummus. They know what it is. Shit, I just found out what hummus was last year. I was like, what the fuck is a hummus? And it's chickpeas.
Yeah, okay. All right. I didn't know where you were going with that. 412 million porn and sex dating site user accounts have been exposed in a hack. 412 million porn and sex dating site user accounts have been compromised as a result of a far-reaching hack, in which various sites from the popular Friend Finder network have been subject of security breach.
Who make accounts on Friend Finders?
AdultFriendFinder.com. See, I thought...
Oh, you're talking about that porn, like when you're on porn, it'd be like, facefuckme.com.
when you're on porn sites,
yes,
they have ads that pop up that say like, would you like to fuck a hot mom in your area?
Apparently people do click on them. I'm like, why?
Right.
Yeah, you don't you know a virus is out there?
And you register your account on there too. You put right. the email.
What do you go? Subscribe through Facebook and it just hook you up and then you wonder why everybody know what your Facebook likes is?
I just bet it's gonna be a lot of like husbands and shit. You know, like
yeah, whose wives are vehemently opposed to this? You know?
Yeah, not them watching porn, but to me, Adult Friend Finder is further than porn because it's like,
oh, okay,
find
okay.
somebody to fuck. It's probably just a link to a prostitute, but the point being,
find somebody that's 2 miles away from you.
Yeah, like that's different than jack okay. off the Vanessa Del Rio,
right,
or whatever. Right. Like you, like you just took it to the next level.
That's when a pop up come at the bottom of the screen and somebody's randomly moving, going such a is 5 minutes away from your location right now.
Right, like that seems
come fuck me.
Mm-hmm. That's what that means. That seems kind of...
Well, then, yeah, you might have problems.
Yeah. So, it calls itself the world's largest sex and swinger community. 61 million from the live set chat site, cams.com, and 7 million from online adult magazine Penthouse. Penthouse? Who has an account at Penthouse?
Oh, apparently somebody does.
Let me log into penthouse.com. Keep up with the daily, daily happenings.
We gonna fuck around. They gonna find a .edu, a .prez, you know, gonna have a .org. You gonna fuck around and have some federal person link their account up to it.
They also, other sites that were hacked were stripshow.com and icams.com. I think the cam thing isn't as bad because cams are when you watch people on the other side.
Right, like real strippers. People.
So I don't think, I mean, right. not that, who knows what the fuck people's relationships are like, but that's not something I think people would be too mad about.
Right.
But the Adult Friend Finder, that seems like the kind of thing you might want to be like, hey, buddy.
Who are you trying to friend yeah. find? And who is this friend?
Right. Because ain't no friends on Adult Friend Finder. Dude. You ain't going to find. It's not like you go on Adult Friend Finder and be like, I'm just looking for somebody to watch a movie with me. You want to go out to the park?
I'm looking for a new book club.
Yeah. You ever play basketball? You want to go shoot some hoops?
It's nah. not insane.
That would be funny if someone started an Adult Friend Finder site, but it really was for friends.
Yes.
People would be so confused, be showing up with they dick out. They'd be like, what are you doing?
I know, I don't want your dick. No.
I just wanted to go to the library.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Maybe talk about the current events going on.
Yeah, I just wanted a buddy to go to the movies with. I didn't realize
right.
he was trying to fuck.
And information verified by ZDNet. It was discovered that a variety of personal data was gathered as a result of the hacks, including usernames, email addresses, and IP addresses. VIP membership data was also exposed. Ooh, that means you probably spent some money. While 15...
Yes, you paid that extra $20 a month.
They also recovered 15 million deleted accounts. So even if you was on there...
And you got
and you were like, let me delete this before my wife find out.
They were like, nope, we got you too, bitch.
Too late, buddy. Previously suffered a security breach back in 2015 with a hack causing 3 million accounts to be compromised. Fortunately, less personal information has been obtained this time around, while the Friend Finder Network having released a statement explaining how they have thus far received only false extortion attempts as a result of the latest hack. The email sent by the network's vice president, Diana Balu, to ZDNet, reads, over the past several weeks, Friend Finder has received a number of reports regarding potential security vulnerabilities from a variety of sources. Immediately upon learning this information, we took several steps to review the situation and bring it to the right external partners to support our investigation. While a number of these claims proved to be false extortion attempts, we did identify and fix a vulnerability that was related to the ability to access source code through an injection vulnerability, she said. Friend Finder takes the security of its customer information seriously and will provide further updates as our investigation continues. Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if the people from... Mr. Robot hacked it. That's really what happens. It's funny how hacking on TV is always like, it's so important. You know, it's always like, we're gonna hack Apple and we're gonna expose their practices for labor to the world and how they hide their money and we're gonna destroy this company because it's evil. But then hacking in real life is like, we hacked Ashley Madison. It's like, well, that's not, you know, like... Like hackers in real life don't be aspiring to much, you know. It's like we hack Leslie Jones sites.
But I just they got, I'm pretty sure hackers probably have levels to them, and people that hack there, I bet you real good hackers going, you ain't hack shit.
Even when they hacked the DNC, like nothing came out, like nothing, it was nothing there that you're like, wow, can't believe that. Like,
yeah,
I needed at least a couple emails of like, and you know what, Barack Obama's a nigger and I don't like his ass either, signed sincerely Hillary Clinton.
That's true, and I'm pretty sure really, really good hackers are like drug dealers. They're like, I do the shit, but I don't say nothing because I ain't trying to go to jail.
I just don't think, I think really good hackers hack Adult Friend Finder.
I know. I think, I would hope that they have higher aspirations. Like people that, joke about,
it's just like
student loans and shit like that.
But TV and movies romanticize these niggas, but they not, it's not Chloe hacking the building schematics to help Jack Bauer learn how to destroy, to fight the terrorists. It's just not,
I agree with that.
It's not real. Like none of that's real. They're not taking on, they don't have these big grand sweeping causes and shit. You know, every time we get excited about that, what happens? Nothing. We're gonna hack the Ferguson Police Department. What happens? Nothing comes from it.
Yeah.
You know, instead it's like, we're gonna hack Gabrielle Union because she said rape is wrong. That's the people who seem to be the skilled hackers these days, you know. Russia's over here trying to influence the election with emails and shit, and even the emails ain't have nothing in them, but it's just that that's what they spend their time hacking. They don't, you know, I just think we glorify hackers, and it's just not, there's no point for it. Let's see what else. Oh, speaking of porn, thousands of people were searching for Trump porn the day after the election. That seems like a waste of porn.
I'm trying to tell you,
Who the fuck wanna watch Donald Trump, or actor being Donald Trump, I'm assuming, do porn? Like, what's the, like, are they going, man, I hope his Trump impression is good. That's the only way. I can't get it up unless somebody is doing a big ass, huh? I
hope his hair is orange enough.
Yeah, I can't get it up if someone's not doing a Trump impression. I can't, you know, how I'm supposed to get hard if he doesn't say bigly? I don't know.
I hope his comb over is just right.
Yeah, I can't come until he says tremendous several times in a row. So what a weird country. Clown porn, then Trump porn. Maybe they do Trump clown porn. I don't know.
Oh, that's too much. No.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see. Did you know that being a mean girl does pay off? Researchers find that nicer women are paid less than more assertive women. But, of course, those women still earn less than men.
Of course. And it's one of those things where it's very, very complex because, you know, it's what do you consider nice? Like, it's different levels of niceness, you know. So basically you're saying the women that come in and that are bitches at work and just demand pay, they get paid 2 pennies more than the rest of you bitches.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you telling me. I mean, that's not what you're telling me. That's what you're portraying, when a lot of times that might not be true.
Well, you know, the thing for me is, I think it's interesting how the attitude of being mean and commanding is one that we associate with masculinity at work.
Right.
But it's also one we associate with success. So even a woman doing this is probably doing her best to imitate what she has seen people praise in the corporate world, which is the intimidating man, the, you know, the Don Draper, the guy who, he's moody, he's angry, he's mean, but we don't see it as moody, angry, and mean, because when a woman does it, she's just a bitch. But when a man does it, he's an alpha male and he's commanding, and
yeah, he's coming in yelling at people, cussing people out, causing strife and division, just being a flat dick and an asshole, and he is praised and get a promotion. But a woman does that, she's a bitch, you know, she's nasty. A lot of times people demand that she's fired.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it's kind of interesting that it's almost like performing that is kind of a way to get pushed up the totem pole as compared to other women, you know, which says a lot, because when black people in corporate America, we often have the experience of watching people perform whiteness almost.
Yes, sir.
Like a black person gets a position of power or management, and then that's like they become harder on other, it's almost like they're more racist, they're more mean, they're less sociable with you sometimes. Not every black person, not all, but just sometimes you've seen it and you're like, oh, that person's moving up because they're adopting survival tactics or however you want to call it, but they're mimicking what they seem to be successful, and it's typically white men. You know, when you look at who's the CEOs in America, it's white men.
Come on.
You know, who moves up the ladder faster is white men. So, it's not shocking that women would kind of go through this too.
Yeah. And they will. And I mean, and they will and they do. And I've seen it before, and you know, it varies. There are, managers that are women that are excellent, great, and, are nice and kind and don't cuss everybody out. A lot of times, in my personal opinion, good managers, male or female, are not assholes, but for some reason people think an asshole is, or just being very, strong-handed is the way to get people to be subservient. And a lot of it is the culture of your company. Cause I think, you know, places can run where you don't have to be an asshole and you can go up the corporate ladder, but it varies. And I think I feel like this, and I will continue to say this, when it comes to corporate America, it's about quote unquote climbing that ladder. But, you know, a lot of women don't want to climb that ladder because, you know, and then some of their minds is like, I don't want to be the asshole. I don't want to be the bitch. I don't want to be nasty. So I'm just not going to climb this ladder.
And not even, and not, I mean, even further than just not wanting to, would you be recognized for doing a good job, but not taking on those qualities? Like, right. I'm not going to take on the characteristics of the angry, emotional man, but I'm going to approach my job with a more holistic attitude. I'm going to approach my job where I do respect other people and I don't cuss people out and I don't. Then it's almost like, well, you're not standing out. You're not doing, like, your work is not going to be appreciated the same way as if you make a stink about it.
Yeah, because even when women and men ask for promotions, the sad part about it is that you have to, the techniques have to be different. A lot of times, dudes can come in and just, you know, go off of what they've done. And when women come in, they got to talk about what they're going to do and what they have, what their contributions are to the company versus actually what they have accomplished.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where a man can say, I did this, that, and the other. And a woman has to come in, quote unquote, use a different technique to even be recognized for a job before. And I'm trying to find it for a lot of women. It's like, fuck it. It just ain't worth it. I just want to do my job, be good, and be recognized. But when it comes to corporate America, I'll joke aside, if you're not a white male, a lot of times anything you do is for not anyway. So I guess for me, that's why I'm like, people like, you want to know, I don't want no fucking promotion, I don't want to go up the ladder, I don't want you stressing me out for less pay, you know. You, for me, I'm like, it's just not worth trying to climb a ladder that is, was never made for you to climb in the first place, in my opinion.
Apparently it was from a study of over 1,000 workers at a Dutch firm. They say despite the gap, many of the nicest female employees still thought they were being paid too much. They also discovered even the most dominant women still earn less than most agreeable men. The new research published in the European Journal of Work and Organizational Psychology concluded dominant, assertive women who clearly express their expectations and do not retreat from their demands are compensated better than their more accommodating female peers. According to the researchers, the same goes for dominant men versus their more conciliatory male counterparts. But even dominant women earn far less than all their male colleagues, dominant or otherwise. So the pecking order is still there no matter what you do to break out of it. Yeah, that shit is just sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for a lot of people, I'm not trying to be funny, it's very disheartening, it's very heartbreaking, especially for people that are very hard and dedicated workers. And that's why for a lot of people, it varies per person, but a lot of people, they get to the point like, fuck it, let me start my own job, let me run my own company, let me do my own shit, let me contract my time, let me do something where I am accountable for me. And I don't have to deal with the other bullshit that comes along with corporate America.
Yep. All right. Let's see. What, is there anything else I want to talk about here? Tell you what. Let's do this. It's been a while.
that's you. There's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna mount? Do you wanna hump? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
Oh, I just got an email. And you know what, guys? I'm going to just come out and say, I think we need to give Trump a chance. Okay? Because we in America as black people have gone through some hard times. But it's time for us to let everybody know that, hey, if Trump will give us a chance, we're willing to give him a chance. Okay?
Do I need to find another co-host? What's happening here?
I'm sorry. It's Thanksgiving week. My direct deposit just came in a little early. I'm sorry, y'all. I thought I had came into some money. I thought, you know what? My bad, y'all. I thought I came into some money. Still fuck Trump. It's still fuck Trump. My bad, y'all.
Thank you.
I was
about to say, do we need to talk?
I guess we get paid a day earlier this week. I forgot. I didn't know. total oversight on my fault, guys. I totally went Lil Wayne on y'all just now.
I am a young black rich. If that don't let you know that America understand black matter these days, I don't know what it is. Don't come at me with that dumb, man. My life matter, especially to my.
A senator has proposed a bill that possibly people are saying could force teachers to out their LGBTQ students.
Why?
Now, some people are saying they won't. Some people are saying they will. A Texas state senator's office says a bill addressing parents' rights to full disclosure of school information would not force schools to out students who identify as sexual minorities, her chief of staff said. Senator Connie Burton, Republican, Worth, filed Senate Bill 242 on Thursday for the 2017 Texas legislative session that begins in January 10th and August. The two-page bill states that a parent is entitled to all of the school district's written records about their children, and their general physical, psychological, or emotional well-being, except information related to child abuse. An attempt by a school employee to conceal or encourage a child to withhold information is grounds for discipline, the bill states. Now, what the fuck would the bill be for? You know, like, what kind of, like, in what situations do teachers tell children to withhold information from the, you know, do the teachers say, I'm not going to tell parents about this? Your child's physical, the child's physical, psychological, and emotional well-being. Like, teachers will tell you if your kid's just acting out in class. Mm-hmm. Teachers will tell you if your kid is, you know, exhibiting, yes, you know.
A lot of parents, they were like, if y'all motherfuckers contact me one more time about my baby, because they gonna let you know.
Yeah. Equality Texas, a nonprofit organization that works to secure equal rights for sexual minorities through legislation and education, on Friday issued a statement opposing Burton's bill. Until kids are not kicked out of the house for being gay or transgender, and until kids are not beaten by parents for being gay or transgender, we owe it to kids to protect them, said the statement. We believe Senator Burton's legislation would essentially destroy protective communications between a student and an educator. I don't know why you pass a bill with this language unless it is to say parents should be able to know the sexual orientation, or maybe if their kid is sexually active or something. Mm-hmm. They're like, I want this information to go to me. The school or the teacher should not be aware of this, and I don't know. Which I can see how that language would lead to some kids being outed or something like that, and you never know why somebody would want to keep those secrets from their parents.
Come on, dawg. Everybody's parent ain't a lot of people take for granted that parents have good sense. Just because you got good sense or your parents have good sense don't mean everybody has good sense. There are a lot of parents that, truth be told, they freak out over the simplest shit. You tell them their children are sexually active, particularly females, they fucking snap. They beat them, they punch them, they abuse them. You tell them that their son is gay, all of a sudden they got to go home and they got to deal with all types of abuse. You actually are putting children's lives at risk.
Yeah, and I also worry about, like, you know, they have those, like, reparative therapy, where it's like, I'm gonna put you in something to make sure that you're not gay, or to correct your sexuality, quote unquote. You know, it's just so dangerous to just put this information in the hands of people that you don't know how they're gonna react, and you don't know why a kid might be hiding those things from their parents. Also, what if you're wrong? You know, what if you're absolutely wrong? Like, you just assume a kid is a certain way and you just don't fucking know.
Right.
You know, and are parents gonna be like, I found out my kid was gay, the school didn't tell me, I'm suing the school? Like, what is the point of this fucking law? Republicans and these goddamn laws, man. I have no idea why they would even need to pass this.
They don't.
Burton's proposed bill came about in response to Fort Worth School District issuing new guidelines about transgender students, which triggered an uproar over parents' loss of access to complete information. So it is about outing kids. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And just hiding behind, like, no, we just want to make sure communication is there for the motherfuckers, man. They ought to work. They really. I mean, I understand that when someone is your dependent, you're responsible for a certain amount of shit. But there has to be some lines. Like, at some point, your child is, that's their body, that's their, you know, that's their sexuality, that's their sexual orientation. You can't control everything, you know, and we know for a fact some parents are gonna be like, no, motherfucker, I'm gonna make you be straight. Yes, I don't care if I gotta put you in some type of Christian camp, I don't care if I gotta beat you, I don't care if I gotta kick you out the house. We know that's gonna be the reaction, yet somehow we think that that's just a risk worth taking for these children.
Right, because at the end of the day, kids don't have rights. A lot of people act like children are not human beings. Children are little people. They are human beings, and I'm tired of people using children as a shield for their fucking bigotry.
Speaking of which, a raging mom sues her teenage transgender daughter after she starts gender reassignment without her permission, quote unquote. I think her daughter is 17. Yeah, and Anne-Marie Caligaro is also suing the medics involved, saying her rights as a parent have been violated. Ms. Caligaro referred to her 17-year-old child as her son throughout the media conference. She said, not only was I robbed of the opportunity to help my son make good decisions, but I also feel he was robbed of a key advocate in his life, his mother.
Who probably didn't agree with his lifestyle, or quote unquote, in her mind.
Right, yeah.
You know, cause
she's calling him, he.
Right, cause you're she's being calling disrespectful.
Her, he, yeah, she's calling right. her, he.
You're being disrespectful. You're not, calling her what she chooses to be called.
Yeah, you're essentially saying,
there's no way in the fucking world I would have allowed, quote unquote, him to do this.
Right, yeah, she's essentially saying, I don't respect, your right. Right. To your own body.
And then they wonder why children run away or get 18 and just run away. And the thing about it too, because I know it's getting around the holiday time, but some parents are like, don't nobody come see me, don't nobody come visit me, because a lot of times, not trying to find it, it's a lot of shitty ass parents out there and shitty ass people, and people go, it's the holidays, but I don't want to spend my fucking time with you.
The teen filed emancipation papers last year, but, and I'm assuming it's a typo, it says, but did terminate her mom's parental rights. Maybe they didn't. Okay. Because I don't know why this would be an issue if she did. The documents state that the teen's mom made it known to him that she no longer wishes to have any contact with him and that she knows where he is and has made no attempt to bring him home. The teenager claimed her mother did not report her as a runaway even 6 months after she fled the house. Ms. Calgaro says she was not opposed to her child's gender transition, but she wanted the child to slow down. The teenager turns 18 in July next year. Yeah, I just think
I don't believe you, because what's the point of the lawsuit then?
Maybe trying to get some money. Also, that's just another level of just like, your kid ran away. You didn't look for him for 6 months.
Right.
Didn't look for her for 6 months. I'm sorry. You didn't look for her for 6 months. Mm-hmm. You, claim you're okay with the transition. You just wanted to be an advocate or some shit. No, you, then you just, I just want you to slow down, and now I'm suing. I want some money.
I'll just say that's a relationship that's ruined right there.
Right.
Because, you know, it's one of those things where, oh, okay, this bond will never be, you know, because some people, you know, especially around this time of year, everybody acts like their relationship with their parents, their mothers, their fathers and shit like that is everybody's experience, and it's fucking not. A lot of people don't come from two parents households. A lot of people come from very, very non-traditional backgrounds and non-traditional upbringings. And it's going to be one of those things when, you know, a lot of times people try to make you quote unquote feel guilty for not spending time with family and things like that. But yeah, if this was me, I probably would never talk to her again, but that's just me.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how you fix that relationship.
Right, or how you repair that without her apologizing.
Right. It's a national first. LGBT advocates sue Utah schools over anti-gay laws. Equality Utah sued the state's education office in federal court late Friday, challenging Utah's curriculum laws that bars teachers and students from positive discussions about homosexuality in public schools. Filed in Salt Lake City's U.S. District Court, the suit asked a federal judge to strike what it calls anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender curriculum laws because they are unconstitutional and violate First Amendment rights to free speech, the 14th Amendment rights to equal protection, and laws that prohibit sexual discrimination and equal access. The anti-gay school laws were enacted in order to express moral disapproval of homosexuality and of LGBT persons. They do not serve as legitimate state interests. Equality Utah's executive director Troy Williams announced the lawsuit to thunderous applause at the organization's annual fundraisers, the Allies Dinner, on Friday night, noting that the laws are some of the most odious anti-LGBT regulations that remain on the books. Wow, that you can't even talk about LGBT people positively in school. That's a thing. Like, what the fuck? Utah is another state though where their conservatives are trying to take it morally. Like, they want to outlaw porn. They're doing so much to like take that state back to the 1800s. It explicitly stigmatizes queer students. It sends a message that our lives are something shameful, something that must be censored and erased, Williams said to the crowd of more than 2,000 people. The time has come to end the stigma and strike no promo homo from the state's law. So no promoting homosexuality. You know, another thing that's wow is here's a thing where you are literally talking to kids. You're teaching kids about life and sexuality. And as always, when it comes to our education system, instead of approaching it as let's give kids the keys to knowledge and say, listen, go learn as much as you can. Instead, what happens is we think we should teach kids how to think. We should teach kids what to think.
Right.
Not how to think. Like, we don't want to teach them the critical thinking process.
Right.
We want to tell them these are the opinions you should have, and we're going to already give you these formulated opinions. So, gay is bad. That's the lesson today. Gay is bad. It's not, well, this is the different kinds of sexuality that we're aware of, and these are the different ways that this all functions in our society. Instead, it's gay is bad. The only thing good is to be straight, cisgender, heterosexual, heteronormative person. That's the only thing. That's right. Everything else is wrong. So if you're any of this, if you're feeling any of these feelings, if you're leaning towards anything, like, you are wrong, and you need to get back to the path that we have decided every single human being should be on. That's essentially what, and that's learning. That's not even
right.
That's not even like, well, this is just my belief in a church or something. You're in the school telling somebody what to think. And I think the same mentality extends to shit like, we don't want to teach Black history, we don't want to teach Latino history,
right? We don't want to teach Indian history, Native American history,
right?
You know, but one history that we will teach y'all is about the Jews, you know, because that quote unquote was an America's stain. You know, because anything that it quote unquote involves some shit that we do, we want to erase it.
Yeah, we don't want to teach you about slavery because the kids might get mad.
Right.
You know, we don't want to teach you, you can learn about Martin Luther King. We don't want you to learn about Malcolm X. It's very much about teaching people what to think. And of course, it extends to sexual orientation because, you know,
and
the state thinks everything other than, you know, straight Christian white male is wrong.
Yeah, and you can kind of tell even with some adults where you go, I'm not trying to find out. I look at some people and the way they interact on social media and Facebook and stuff, I'm go, oh, your critical thinking skills are zero because none were applied here at all.
Yeah, I've had conversations almost every Saturday with a couple dudes at the YMCA that, you know, their critical thinking is ridiculous. Like, when they are for the transgender bathroom laws, and I'm like, so you do realize that people that identify as a woman will be now in the men's locker room, and people that identify as a man will be in the women's bathroom, according to the visual of it. Like, and he's like, well, I don't want nobody in there with my kids. I'm like, but according to the visual of it, there are going to be people who look like men in the bathroom with your little daughter, according to what you just said. Like, this is the world you want to see, right? Like, what you're really saying and what these bathroom laws are hiding behind is they really just want you to not exist this way. They're basically saying, hey, you have a penis, put on some pants and dress like a boy. That's the only solution. Cause they know that if you put on a dress and go into the men's bathroom, the likelihood of something bad happening to you just goes up exponentially. And the same thing, if a person dresses a male, or, you know, presenting as a male, walks into a female bathroom, people are gonna lose their fucking minds. That's the reality of what the law says they want. That's not what people want. You know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill out of a non-issue, but that's the kind of shit that is, these laws are behind, you know, these laws about school and all this stuff. It all comes from the same wellspring, this lack of critical thinking and this, I want to tell you what to think, not how to think. And then lastly, this is the first lawsuit like this? The first in America? That, as litigious as this country is, we've never had someone say, we're suing the school system because this shit is fucked up. This country is, we are doomed. And Mike Pence is our vice president, so I don't know. George W. Bush, Donald Trump gets to decide our next fucking Supreme Court justice. I mean, what the fuck, man? All these kind of lawsuits and cases that by the time they get to a Supreme Court, it's gonna probably be full of fucking bigots, man. Mm-hmm. But you know, hey, it's all, they're both the same side of the different corner.
Yeah, they both the same, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have time to waste my time to go to the polls, you know. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't have the heart to vote, you know. Okay.
Charlotte loses a 730 job operation center over the House bill too. CoStar Group, a real estate research firm, announced Monday that it had chosen Richmond for its research operations center after a national search. The company said it expected to create 730 jobs and invest $250 million into the local economy.
Good.
And that won't be happening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Even though Charlotte is a very progressive city and the city that kind of got the ball rolling because we passed the law of, hey, use whatever bathroom you want. But because our state is such a bigoted place, we're losing billions of dollars, and Pat McCrory is still fighting to maintain his governorship, even though he's lost by what appears to be 8,500 votes minimum right now.
Twice, this nigga, get the fuck on, God. Oh, sorry.
Speaking of which, North Carolina is telling PayPal to give us our stuff back. Yep, North Carolina state leaders have presented PayPal with an unusual gift, an oak bowl carved from wood from the state's Capitol grounds. So when PayPal said, we out, we're not going to do this, North Carolina officials are now asking for their stuff back. They want their bowl back, y'all.
Mm-mm. You can keep PayPal.
Pettiest. I hope they fucking put the video
them burning
on YouTube
bitch.
And they burn the fuck out of that bowl. I hope they piss in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then send it back.
I hope they put it on eBay for sale and make you on a PayPal.
Yeah, they got it back and gave it to a charity auction. You fucking idiots. You lost so much money for this state.
Right.
Your stupid ass bigotry. You stupid motherfuckers. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I want Pat McCoy to take that L and move the fuck on. Like, I'm not, I normally be cool, but every time I see he's still fighting, I'm like, fuck you. Are you going to just push this and push this till somebody has to make a ruling on it?
Every time I do this segment, I always get mad. I don't know how, we not even LGBT. I don't know how fucking, I want to choke a motherfucker, dog.
Right.
I would just.
Right. Cause I'm like, it's one of them things, but it just makes me angry because I'm like, just let people live, dog. Just let them be.
I'd be just walking around slapping the fuck out of people or glitter bombing them or something.
Oh yeah. I'd be off the chain.
I mean, when Mitt Romney got glitter bombed by the two gay dudes, that was the best day of my life, man. I was like, good. Cause it's hard to get that fucking glitter out. And fuck
you. You've been scumming yourself for months.
Bigot ass nigga. Alright. Let's see. I guess we can do fucking with black people since everybody's already angry. Just go ahead and get it all out the way.
We're just fucking with those black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles to make us feel fucked with. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25, for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Apparently CNN was doing some news, which means they had people on screen commentating because that's what news is now.
Yeah, it's no longer passing important on facts.
Yeah, it's no longer it's
news is opinions now.
It's the host says the sentence, six people argue over it. So apparently during this segment things went a little off the rails. I'll see if I can play it. Oh wait, I guess I could put it on screen for you guys if you want to see it. Give me a second. Okay. And I'm sure it'll load
Let's
up.
Bring in CNN political commentator and Trump supporter Paris Denard. Also, Charles Kaiser is with us. He's a CNN.com contributor and the author of multiple books, including The Cost of Courage, the story of how one French family fought the Nazis during the Paris occupation. Gentlemen, welcome. And
thank you.
Charles, let me just begin with you. I mean, now that you're hearing, we're getting some of the information coming out of this New York Times meeting that Trump has disavowed this particular group. Is that enough for you?
Well, I'm delighted that my Mr. Trump has visited my alma mater at the New York Times and said that he doesn't want to do this anymore. But I want to give him a little advice for the future if he does not want to stimulate the alt-right. First thing, he should never retweet someone with the name White Genocide who lists his address as Jew America. That's what he did in February. He should never ask his supporters again to give the Nazi salute, which he did at a rally in March. That's not a good idea. In July, I think it was a mistake.
Wait, when did he say that?
In March, he asked his supporters to raise and pledge their support to his candidacy and promise to vote for him.
Okay.
There's plenty of video of that. Find that. And then, of course, in July, he retweeted an image of his opponent with the six-pointed Jewish star on it. I thought that was a mistake. But we have bigger problems here. Also in July, you know, he selected as his vice president the most homophobic man in American public life, a person who believes that gay people actually do not have the right to exist. And then, you know, if you don't want to support the alt-right, don't choose as a White House chancellor counselor, a man who uses the word nigger, whose wife says that he did not want his daughters to go to a school with too many Jews. And don't choose as an attorney general a man who calls the NAACP an un-American organization and who we learned in The Guardian today went so far as to prosecute
Charles,
two of the people.
Just hang on a second. I appreciate you going through all of this, but please don't use the N-word on my show.
I'm sorry. Well, I never use the N-word except when I'm quoting someone who's been appointed by the president to serve in the Oval Office, since this is such a disgusting moment in our history.
Let me go back to my original question.
I believe that he's going to be someone who's going to be confirmed. And we can go back and look at everyone's history. I'm sure the person sitting next to me on this program has said some things that he would regret. But we have to look forward.
I think it's shameful.
So the black dude is defending the idea that this white supremacist will be in the office. Lack of facial hair. But I do find it interesting. They flipped on the white dude for saying the N-word in a quote, basically saying don't hire this racist dude who said, a guy who said nigger, and they got upset at him quoting the guy, not at the guy who says nigger, and the black dude is on here to defend it. 0 to 100, Karen. You want to know something, man? I just got to say this real quick. Donald Trump has done everything people who claim they couldn't trust and wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton, everything they claim that she did, he's already done in 2 weeks.
Come up.
His charity organization is corrupt. They've admitted to being corrupt. He's, you know, of course, his relationship with Russia, this hacking shit. Everything people said that was, his letting his kids handle his companies and his businesses and sit in on meetings with other countries and lobbyists, hiring lobbyists in his cabinet, even though he ran on draining the swamp, hiring white supremacists in his cabinet. Y'all accused Hillary Clinton of being a racist for saying super predator, and this guy goes out and hires actual racist to work in his office. It's actually shameful. There's literally no excuse for Hillary losing other than the fact that she was a woman. There's no other excuse, you know, that, and of course white people just got tired of seeing black people say we want equal rights. That's really the main two things that lost the election for Hillary Clinton. And it's really sad to see people accept this, or people try to come back to the fold afterwards on some like, ain't this crazy? This dude is the worst. And you're like, I saw you talk shit about this woman for over a year. What the fuck am I supposed to say to you?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to say to you?
I mean, cause for me personally, overall, I've talked to you and I've said some things on the show. But overall, I just kept a lot of my opinions to myself, because it's one of those things, like, once you really sit down and think about it, it's infuriating. Like, it is fucking, it will make you want to burn the goddamn building down when you see the stupidity, when you see people constantly for the past however many years complain, fuss. And then, you know, everything about her was just wrong. Everything about her was just the evilest. Everything about her, you know, had all these problems. I'm not trying to say that Hillary didn't have her problems. Hillary didn't have her issues. Hillary didn't have her things you would call her out more for. Yes, you know, these things make people better politicians. But the thing is, she's a goddamn politician. And I guarantee you, for a lot of people that complain about Hillary Clinton, if she was a man, she would have got praised for those same exact things. At the end of the day, sexism came in a lot for a lot of these. Yes, racism played a role too, but sexism played a humongous role in how people voted, you could show in the numbers how, you know, particularly when it comes to the 30% of black men, and, you know, when it comes to, you know, a lot of white women, you know, because one of those things with their proximity to white men makes them think, you know, there's no way that a woman, quote unquote, can run this country. And I think for me, it became very frustrating to see a lot of people that for months and years have said Hillary ain't shit. She's not good. She's the same as Trump. They're all equal, you know, and all this other bullshit, you know. A lot of people were hurt and distraught, and I understand that. But a lot of people, and I'm not trying to be funny, I didn't feel any empathy or sympathy, because I was like, nigga, you complained the whole goddamn time. You complained and you fussed. You got what you wanted. You didn't want her. He was the alternative. There was no choice three, okay, people? There was no option three. It was door one or door two, okay? You didn't want one door. You got the other door, and now you want to cry and complain. I have no empathy or sympathy for you, because you got what you fucking wanted. We got what we deserve. It was one of those things, like I said, I just sat back and I didn't say anything, but it was one of the things, it just made me really, really furious and really, really angry with a lot of people. And, you know, just watching people on social media and things like that, it was one of those things where, you know, my views of a lot of people changed, you know, because I might not verbally say anything, I might not, you know, clap back, come into your timeline, but I'm very observant. I watch a lot of people, and, you know, it's gonna be funny to see and you got a lot of people that's now that's like, well, we need to cross the aisle, and, you know, we got to get along, he's sworn in and all that stuff too. And it's one thing, well, that's infuriating too, because why? Because when President Obama won, you had people that verbally came out and said that I want to guarantee he's a one-term president. They dug their fucking feet in the ground and they didn't do shit. Why can't the Democrats do that? Why can't they stick their middle fingers up and go, well, fuck you? Because that's really where I am with when it comes to Trump, truth be told. Fuck him, fuck his cabinet, fuck his record label and his crew.
Yeah, it's interesting, because we're watching him do the thing. It's interesting to me, because I think I'm not disillusioned at all. Like, this is exactly what I said. But watching how slow people are coming around to, oh, he was only campaigning on white supremacy. Because it's not like people are saying they're disappointed with his choices. You don't see anybody backing off or supporting him right now. They should be, right? I mean, technically, he's going back on climate change. He's going back on repealing Obamacare. He's going back on prosecuting Hillary Clinton. He's going back on all these promises he made, except he's fulfilling the major promise that was the undertone of everything, which is, I'm going to fill my cabinet positions with white supremacy. We're going to make sure that whiteness comes back. White privilege will be preserved. That's what this election was about. It doesn't help that the allies in this fight, the white people in this fight, are not ready to fight. I saw an article. Should journalists be able to call racist racist? I've seen people say alt-right instead of white supremacist. Like, the board is like the Daily Stormer. It's a white supremacy board. It's a neo-Nazi board, and they go, it's the alt-right. People are complicit in it, because white people, even the quote-unquote well-meaning ones, do not see the benefit of calling people out on their shit, because there's no benefit towards them directly. While they will benefit from the idea that white supremacists occupy these offices, in general, they will continue to benefit. You know what I mean? Like, even as they say, I don't like this shit, as a white person, this is going to be a good time to be alive for the next 4 years. So fuck it. You know, maybe we shouldn't just come out and say that person's racist. Maybe we should get offended that this white man said the N-word, to quote someone who said the N-word offensively. You know, let's get mad at that, but not mad at the actual fact that a person that said that shit now has a cabinet position with Trump's administration. It's that kind of shit that's so frustrating. And I had wanted to say this to start, which was, you know, protect your mental health if you got to, man. Check out if you have to. It's gonna be a long 4 years. It's already long. He ain't even took office yet. The hypocrisy, the double standards, the passes, the normalization of racism,
right,
that is about to come to pass, it's gonna be some shit that's gonna really take us back, man. People that got really comfortable just shitting on Obama every day of his life, like he was just the worst. You know, hopefully they have something to complain about now, like for real, as opposed to the bullshit that people mostly complain about over the last 4 years. Hopefully you have some, you know, actual problems that affect your life now. But in general, I do say, like, as black people, be careful. I'm watching a lot of people kind of, it's like I said during the Firestarter thing, the world is just in such pain. Yeah, all the time. Yeah. All the time. And it's, if you're relatively aware as a human being, it's almost impossible to tune out. Like,
yes, it is.
I just see everyone in so much pain. Like, mm-hmm. People are struggling in their lives. You're struggling just things that really can't affect you on a macro level, on a micro level, but they do on a macro level. And they bother you because maybe you can't change it, or because, you know, the doom is hanging over you. Like, I think I'm watching people crack under that. You know, the election results hurt a lot of people.
Yes, it did.
Even if you knew it was coming, a lot of people still felt hurt. Mm-hmm. The arguments, the lost friendships over the past couple of years.
Sure.
The people revealing their true colors, their true nature. There's still people that have so little empathy that within all this, they're more concerned about whether or not people like Bernie Sanders than how this administration is going to affect black people and Muslim people and LGBT people and things of this nature. Like, that's where we're at right now, and people are so hurt. You know, that's what I see. Mm-hmm. Even when people are arguing and shit and they're going at each other's throat, I just see two hurt people,
right,
trying to rationalize and normalize what the fuck is going on, because, you know, some of this rhetoric we're hearing, I mean, this is Hitler level shit. I know people compare everything to Hitler, but I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. Like, Hitler ran on Make Germany Great Again. Mm-hmm. You know, white power people are getting positions to, just openly white power people are just getting positions to lord over this country. You know, the Department of Justice days are gone. That is done already. You know, the idea that a president will ever come out and say, you know, police need to understand that Black Lives Matter, that shit is done. It's a wrap. You know, so it's just, I think I see a lot of people breaking.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that, you know, you need to take breaks.
Check
you
out.
You need to take care of your mental health, take care of your body, take care of your family. It's a lot more important shit than just, you know, because you're not gonna, it's gonna be a, I can't even cover all the shit Trump does.
Mm-mm.
On a daily basis, and he hasn't even taken the office.
Mm-mm.
Nobody can.
Every few hours, like, literally, y'all, every few hours, it is another fucking breaking news about some shit involving him, his family, who he's chosen, something he said, something he's done.
Yeah, if you want to win at this, like, you're not going to win at this shit. You know, I mean, we're going to continue to do our job, continue to make jokes,
mm-hmm.
and try to keep the shit light, continue to spread a spotlight on the shit that we see as fucked up, but it don't be scared to tap out, man, because I know, like I said, I've watched friends kind of just, like, just break down, man. I mean, it's no, and I'm not saying that on some, like, in a negative way towards them. It's just, this is a lot.
It is.
This is all a lot, and we're kind of muddled in it.
And it was kind of thrust upon people, and I think a lot of people literally were not ready. I think for a lot of people, honestly, truthfully, America's been spoiled with Obama, and overall, a lot of people had confidence that Hillary was quote unquote going to win. And then when she didn't, the reality set in, or a lot of people was like, well, I think that Donald Trump will win. But the reality of it just sitting in, I think, hit people, and it hit people hard. And it And the thing about once something seeps in and once something becomes a reality, you have to get to the point where you almost prepare yourself. And for a lot of people, they prepare themselves in various different ways. And then some people just break down. Like, we're all not built the same. And that's why I agree with you, Roderick. A lot of, you know, if you feel like, hey, I need to check out. You need to get off social media. Get off social media, particularly brown people, LGBTQ people, anybody in these marginalized groups. Because for a lot of people, it's a fear, like, and it's a panic. And a lot of people have really gone into a fight or flight mode, a permanent fight or flight mode. And that is not healthy, and it is not a safe place to be.
I just don't know if people are even aware of it.
That's true. You know, they might
I'm just
not
seeing
be aware.
People
That's
lashing right. out. I'm seeing people argue. I'm seeing people fighting and just kind of everybody's just fucked up. And, you know, I just think this nation is in a state of change emotionally. And it, as it should be, by the way, I think it's really hard for people to. I think it will, people are going to think what I'm saying is bullshit or I'm tripping or whatever the fuck, but I'm serious. I think what's happening right now is just progress. And I think that this is a pushback against the inevitability of racial progress in America. And I think these cycles happen all the time. Progress is not a straight line. I think Americans don't have the wherewithal to truly see things through to the end where they keep their foot on the gas. I think what happened is people got, like you said, spoiled. A lot of people got disillusioned. Even well-meaning people, even black people.
Right.
A lot of people thought we have a black president and I'm going to ignore all the signs of Republicans not losing an election for 6 years.
Come on.
You know, I'm going to ignore all the signs because we have president. I'm going to ignore all the racism and stuff and just think we're above that. We're better than that. That's not the real America. Those people don't have power. And now this is that push. This is that surge and the world is doing it. It's not just us. And we're going to see what kind of resolve people have and we're going to find like, a lot of these people that are riding this wave, they're opportunists. They're not actually even about this life, really, because they're just lining their pockets because this is the thing, this white nationalism is the thing that's going to get them fed. It's going to get them money. And that we're going to see how that shit plays out. But I really feel like this is all just a painful part of change and part of the process.
Yeah. And, for most of us, we were not around doing big changes in our history. It's different between going to school and reading history books about the civil rights and reading, you know, having somebody tell you, quote unquote, about the Jim Crow laws and you actually living during a period of time where it's a big change in
well,
the country.
Also,
it's
we not have, the same. Also, we have the internet, though.
That's true.
So now people are experiencing it and you don't even have to be there.
That's true too.
You know what I mean? Now when Ferguson happens, even if the media won't cover it, all our friends cover it.
Yeah.
All the videos go viral. Mm-hmm. This is no longer like we're now more aware than ever of racial injustice, inequality, and racism, and bigotry and xenophobia. We are now more aware than ever. These things have always existed, but now everywhere there's a phone, we know what the fuck is happening. So we're becoming aware of how big the problem is. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what a lot of this is. All that to say, 100 for this motherfucker. For this woman correcting this guy for saying the N-word and for the black dude pretending to be offended while then defending a white supremacist getting this position. That is abhorrent. Mm-hmm. That is abhorrent.
Yeah.
Bob Johnson, former BET, BET founder, former owner, the CEO of Black Entertainment Network and the Bobcats.
Okay.
Yes. He advises African Americans to give Trump a shot after a great chat. Mm-hmm. Now I know guys, I might not have the best credibility since 20 minutes ago when I thought I had came into some money. I told you guys to give Trump a chance, but now that I'm back broke like the rest of you niggas, fuck Bob Johnson. Okay, this is bullshit.
Oh, I see how you flip-flopping over there.
I mean, listen, I got money now. I don't have money anymore. He said he had a great chat with Trump, and rich black people, please stop telling us to give him a chance.
Come
please.
On.
Come on, guys.
That's, oh, don't do that bullshit.
What are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? What is
right.
this? 100 for Bob Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This is a complicated one, okay? 15-year-old Quinteris Brown says he was shocked and saddened when he looked at the name on his receipt from Wendy's after grabbing a burger with him in Mobile, Alabama. The teen tells WKRG that he was hurt by the title. Let me see if I can play this for you guys. I think it's about to play. All right, let's try this one more time. But yeah, he was hurt by the title, because you know how we've covered this all the time, but on receipts from like restaurants, sometimes they'll put descriptive things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can plug in, you can actually make it where you can manually type in things in the receipt.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be like, fat nigger. But okay, so all right, what's this one? Here we go.
People behind the counter were laughing before he got his order. When he saw the words "Lil Ugly Dude" printed at the bottom, he ran.
Lil Ugly Dude, Karen. That's what was printed at the bottom of the receipt. Lil Ugly Dude. At Wendy's, you just go in to get a Wendy's burger. We all love Wendy's. Who doesn't love Wendy's, guys? They got the best, juiciest burgers. And for my buck, I love their spicy chicken sandwich. Add pickles.
Oh, it's flames.
But if I got my receipt and it said "Little Ugly Dude," my feelings might be hurt, man.
Might mess your day up. I'm yeah. the chili.
I just want to get some fast food like the rest of y'all. I didn't want to be insulted.
I just want to get a 10-piece of fry and a soda.
All right.
Welcome back to News 5 at 6 o'clock. A family in Mobile is upset after receiving a rude message on a receipt. They're calling it a form of bullying. News 5's Chad Petrie has the story.
When you get a fast food meal, no one expects to be called a little ugly dude.
We get the receipt and I looked at it and say, "Little ugly dude." And I'm like, really?
Tanisha Bush says her son went into the Wendy's on Schillinger Road Monday night. Quinteris Brown says he couldn't figure out why people behind the counter were laughing before he got his order. When he saw the words "Lil Ugly Dude" printed at the bottom, he ran out of the restaurant.
It hurt my feelings. It made me cry. I was embarrassed and I felt bad.
For whatever reason there may be for leaving those three words at the bottom of a receipt, the family says that's just not funny. It's not cool.
Because it's considered bullying. You know, you don't go around making fun of people because you don't know their situation. That's bullying.
Bush says her son deals with mental health issues daily. She wants employees to be better trained to not put rude comments on receipts.
Don't just put anything on a receipt. You know, make your customer feel welcome to come back and shop or visit your store again.
She posted the receipt Tuesday on Facebook, and it's been shared hundreds of times since. In Mobile, Chad Petrie, News 5.
Wendy's Director of Management Services issued a statement to News 5. It says the company is taking the incident seriously. They fired the person responsible and have apologized to the family. You can read the full statement on our website, WKRG.com.
Mm-mm-mm. Little ugly dude.
I guess Wendy's have more control over its economy than we do here in America.
Mm-hmm. So Karen, 0 to 100, how you feel fucked with as a black person?
I give it about 25, because they did fire the person, which is the most important. A lot of times people do fucked up shit like this and they keep their job, or they do some goddamn internal investigation and act like they doing something. But it's probably one of them 25 an hour employees, so they was like, "Fuck you, nigga, get out."
I'm gonna say 0. Could have happened to anybody. We don't know that you were called a little ugly dude because you were black, so I don't feel fucked with it all. He was not a little ugly dude, in my opinion. It was clearly just people trying to goofing off at work.
But yeah, they deserve to be fired.
Oh yeah, I think we can I think we all can agree there, guys, that they definitely deserve to get their punk asses fired. All right, let's see. I guess we can move into a more fun segment, guys. Let's do some white people news. All right. Nothing whiter than singing about a kid shooting up a school. Am I right, guys? Breaking white people news. Madonna's son, Rocco Richie, 16 years old, is arrested for possessing cannabis in a drug bust.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Wealthy Primrose Hill neighbors complained about him smoking drugs. You don't say. Madonna's kids smoke drugs. Rocco was caught in possession of cannabis after neighbors reportedly called the police on the troubled teen, a 16-year-old whose father is director Guy Ritchie. Oh, the boy never had a chance. He was seen smoking or doing drugs near his Primrose Hill home in North London. Sources told the Sun that Rocco was seen tossing something away as police approached him in Steeles Mews, North Camden. When officers noticed traces of cannabis on his clothes, they searched him and found a small quantity of the drug. He was arrested on September 28th, taken to North London Police Station, and later bailed. A police spokesman said a 16-year-old youth was arrested for possession of cannabis. The arrest follows a stop and search by officers from Camden Borough at around 5:15 p.m. on Wednesday, September 28th. The youth was taken to a North London Police Station. He was subsequently bailed and dealt with by Camden Borough's youth offending team. He was dealt with by way of triage, which uses multiple strands to engage and educate young people in order to prevent reoffending. Earlier this year, the teenager was at the center of a bitter custody battle between his director father and his pop icon mother. The disagreement began in December 2015 during a fallout between Rocco and his musician mother when he abandoned her Rebel Hearts tour. He refused to travel with his mother, and he launched legal action in the U.S. and U.K. demanding custody of her. Oh, she launched legal action demanding custody of her son. Guy Ritchie's lawyers argued Rocco was settled in school in London, and in September, he won the bitter nine-month battle over where their son should live. The Sherlock Holmes director reached a settlement with the pop star hours before they were due a court in New York, and it was agreed the teenager would continue to live in London. Man, this is pretty dramatic for these white folks, man. They're going through a lot. Website TMC claimed that Madonna thought Guy had poisoned her son against her, and as a disciplinary parent, she felt Guy was way too permissive. The terms of the custody agreement remain confidential, but it's understood Rocco is schooled in London with regular visits from his mother. Well, I wonder if his father's going to end up losing custody now and the kid's getting in trouble with drugs. Mm. You know? Well, I guess Papa don't preach to them. not gonna be ready. All right, fall fun in the Bierman residence as Kim Zolciak's kids excitedly play with fallen leaves in the family's yard.
Not excitedly.
It's big news, Karen. You got kids playing with leaves. You know, it signals a change of the seasons. Your kids go outside and play with them leaves. She's a proud mother of six, and Kim Zolciak indulged in some family fun with three of her brood on Saturday, fouling them as they played with a pile of leaves. I think she meant filming them. The former Real Housewives of Atlanta star shared a candid video of her cute kids smiling while throwing a bunch of leaves in the air.
Now they do look happy and precious. I ain't even gonna lie.
Right? And there go they mom, Kim, with them fake knockers.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, who married to free agent football star Corey Bierman, 31. Free agent. Mm-hmm. I mean, he ain't got no job. It's the middle of the season.
And she actually does look like a blow-up doll. Literally, like a blow-up doll.
She captioned the social media post with the Bierman residence along with the heart emoji. The video shows their children in action with their arms up, throwing brownish-red leaves in the air inside their fenced-in yard. It was the perfect autumn scene as Kim's kids, Kaya and Kane, who turned three this week, as well as KJ, five, appeared to be having a blast standing in front of what appeared to be a pond. The outspoken Bravo beauty currently stars on her spinoff Don't Be Tardy for the Wedding, which airs on Wednesday nights. Meanwhile, Kim and her former Atlanta Falcons player hubby just celebrated their fifth wedding anniversary last week. Kim has two teen daughters whom Croy has adopted, Brielle 19 and Ariana 15, and together the couple have four other children, Croy Jagger, five, Cash, Corey Jagger, 5 years old, Cash, 4 years old, and the twins, Kane and Kaya, 2 years old. So it's like they got their own KKKKKKK.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, Kim is her name, right? His name is Croy. They got four kids with K in their name. That's KKKKKK. I can count, America. I guess who they voted for. Let me switch sessions real quick before we get cut off, guys. Give me 1 second. We'll be right back. After these messages, we'll be right back. Let's see. Call audience to session. Prepare to go live. Mm-hmm. Need to add you.
Okay.
Invite you on screen.
I'm on. Wait a minute. I think I'm on deck.
I'm on deck.
Cool.
There's nothing better than working out in the sun, coming out of the pool, and walking up to a nice, sexy body girl with a thing that just shaped like, my girls, everything wrong, body fat, stomach flat. So, yo, the thing right. There's nothing better than working out in the sun, coming out of the pool.
I didn't mean to put it on repeat. Sorry.
Now, what was that?
That was Safari from Love and Hip Hop and his horrible Jamaican accent.
Oh, what you were just to be joking about?
Yeah, terrible accent.
That might be worse than mine, and I know mine is bad. Mine is real bad.
Eat, Pray, Love author Elizabeth Gilbert gushed about her new girlfriend at a speaking event on Friday. The 47-year-old writer spoke of her new girlfriend, fellow writer Raya Elias, at the Airbnb Open Conference in Los Angeles. When asked by an audience member what she was most excited about in her life right now, Gilbert responded, "I met a girl and I'm in love."
Oh, ain't that sweet?
Yeah, well, I mean, kinda. She wrote a book and there was a movie made off of her falling in love with some nigga, and then she divorced this motherfucker and got a girl. I want my money back.
I remember that had Julia Roberts in it, right?
Yeah,
I remember that. I never watched that movie, but yeah,
give my motherfucking money back.
People raved about how that was just a movie to watch. I was like, I'm not watching that shit.
You make a movie about that shit, you better stay together forever, nigga. people done probably bought that book, got that, went pay for that movie, bought it on Blu-ray. She should have to refund everybody some of their money back. When asked by her, this comes 2 months after she made the bombshell announcement that she left her husband of 9 years, Jose Nunez, for her longtime friend. Gilbert broke the news with a Facebook post saying it was Elias's pancreatic cancer diagnosis this past spring that made her realize her true affection for the person who had previously just been a platonic friend. Damn. Man, we got it bad, y'all. As men. A lesbian with cancer can steal your girl. Like, I was just worried about Brittany Griner, but it could it could be anybody, man.
Brittany Griner is Mr. Steal Your Girl.
I would have never thought of the cancer game. Like, women are so ahead of us when it comes to getting these women, man. I would have never thought, I'll just get cancer and then she'll have to come through.
It don't work like that.
Mm-hmm. It worked. It did work like that. It did work like that. It absolutely did. Some right now, some side person right now being like, that's what I'm gonna do. Girl, you know I got this prostate cancer. You need to make your mind up. Something happened to my heart and my mind in the days and the weeks following her diagnosis. Death, or the prospect of death, has a way of clearing away everything that is not real. In that space of stark and utter realness, I was faced with the truth. I do not merely love Raya. I am in love with Raya.
Aww.
And I have no more time for denying that truth. The thought of someday sitting in a hospital room with her holding her hand and watching her slide away without even having let her or myself know the extent of my true feelings for her, well, that thought was unthinkable. I know she's gonna write another book.
Yeah, it's gonna be flames too.
Eat, pray, love again. Eat the pussy, pray she don't got cancer, and love to move out.
Eat, pray, lick.
Mm-hmm. After expressing her true feelings for Elias, Gilbert says the two decide to start a relationship. I wonder if she was cheating at some point then. Here's where we stand now. Raya and I are together. I love her. She loves me. I'm walking through this cancer journey with her, not only as her friend, but as her partner. I'm exactly where I need to be, the only place I can be, she said. She separated from her husband in 9 years this past spring because of her new feelings for Elias. Gilbert's husband plays a major role in her hit memoir as the man she falls in love with in Bali at the end of her journey. Gilbert and Elias have kept their new relationship private up until now to process all these massive changes and challenges. She says that she decided to go public about the relationship now because she doesn't want it to lie. Here's what it comes down to for me. I need to live my life in truth and transparency, even more than I need privacy or good publication or prudence or other people's approval or understanding or just about anything else. Truth and transparency not only make my life more ethical, but also easier. Why easier? Because untruth is always complicated and truth, no matter what the consequences, is always strangely simplifying. So that is why Raya and I have decided together to speak up publicly, both about her cancer, about our love for each other. Is for the sake of our own integrity, but it's also intended to make our lives simpler. Her 2006 memoir, Eat, Pray, Love, One Woman's Search for Everything Across Italy, India, and Indonesia, chronicles her year of travel after divorcing her first husband. The book was an incredible hit, spending more than 200 weeks at the New York Times bestseller list and selling more than 10 million copies worldwide. The book was turned into a movie starring Julia Roberts. That wasn't the first time the Gilbert's work was published into a film, though. In 1997, Gilbert wrote an essay about her time working at a bartender in New York City, which was used as inspiration for the film Coyote Ugly. Damn, yeah. Everything she write go to the, yeah, it's definitely gonna be an Eat, Pray, Lick.
Yes, and OK was inspired. It went based off of Coyote Ugly. Was a terrible fucking movie. I seen that bullshit.
She don't care. She got the money.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't mad at her. You know, you buy my shit too. Yeah, I'm not mad at her.
I would be mad at
them damn girls in them cowboy boots on the bar and shit. I remember that fuck ass movie. It was a terrible movie.
That's when he should have known she was trifling. Her new husband should have been like, this ain't gonna work. You made Coyote Ugly.
And it wasn't good, y'all.
So
that movie old too.
She wrote a follow-up memoir to the memoir in 2010 called Committed, which is about her decision to marry Nunez after becoming a skeptic about marriage. It's peak whiteness that she keep getting books. That's peak whiteness. This is like Steve Harvey getting relationship books. You know what I mean? Is she like, why are we listening to her again? Because she white? Is that why we listening?
Is she the author of Taylor Swift? Like the Taylor Swift author? Like every time she go through something, she write a book and it's flames and people buy it?
Yeah, I don't know. Why the fuck are we listening to her is what I want to know.
Because she white.
Mm. She is the author of Harley Loco, a memoir of hard living, hair, and post-punk from Middle East to Lower East Side. She was born in Aleppo, Syria, and moved to Michigan with her family when she was 8 years old. She moved to New York City in 1983, and she became absorbed in the post-punk scene and was homeless for a period. We'll give her a movie on that, too. Just.
Yeah, she gonna get one.
She just getting movies on everything. Milk and cereal, one woman's journey through from Rice Krispies to Cheerios, coming soon.
Oh yeah, just so you know, I got a sad face and it says your PC ran into a problem and it needs to restart, so just let you know my computer was like
All right, you ain't in trouble or nothing, it's cool. You all right over there? Just restart it.
Oh, I'm assuming it's doing it on its own because it's giving me a little countdown.
Okay, cool.
I don't know what the hell's happening over here. Okay, I just want you to know in case I went out the screen. I'm sorry.
No problem. Thank you for telling me. More white people news. This company is about bringing people together. Ashton Kutcher defends Airbnb. Damn, all the white people's at Airbnb this week. No wonder they got racism problems. Airbnb after protesters storms the stage at a LA panel event. He was one of the first investors in Airbnb. So when a protester stormed the stage at Airbnb Open 2016, a festival of hosting in Los Angeles on Saturday, it was no surprise that Ashton Kutcher got up to address the intrusion. The 38-year-old That 70s Show actor who was dressed in a pink sweater and black trousers confronted a protester who was holding a sign which read Airbnb out of settlements. The protester appeared to be a member of the activist group Code Pink. Oh, they're still around. Isn't that cute? Mm-hmm. Which is a women-led grassroots organization working to end U.S. wars and militarism, support peace and human rights initiatives. As stated by their website, their hashtag was written on the bottom of the protest poster, which was apparently referring to Airbnb's activities in Israel. While the protester was theoretically there to oppose Ashton and Airbnb, it seemed the Hollywood vet was able to charm her with a handshake, which resulted in smiles all around.
He shook a hand, everybody said, "Aw."
Things that never happen to Black Lives Matter.
Mm-mm.
Right? Black protesters do not do this.
You don't get handshakes, you get handcuffed.
I'm saying even if you tried to come handshake somebody that was like, what about the prison incarceration shit, they wouldn't be like, oh, I didn't know y'all was sending Idris Elba out here. Well, I do declare these lives can wait. That's essentially what happened. Ashton Kutcher is cute and she just lost it.
Of course,
never send a white woman to do the job that you need done in the face of Ashton Kutcher.
She get distracted.
It's not her fault. She was helpless. It's like a little babe in his arms just showing up like, girl, let me put these dimples on you. Oh, Ashton, is it hot in here? Oh, is it just you? Anyway, fuck Israel. What you doing after this?
And the Israel girl to come with her looking at her like, bitch, it don't matter.
After guiding the woman off stage, Ashton, who was seated next to Airbnb founder Brian Chesky, began to rally the crowd and reiterate the importance of inclusion and acceptance. A world doesn't discriminate against one another. We can get to know each other intimately and understand our collective narrative as is a narrative for everyone, and that we all can belong in a world together without borders, he said in a Twitter video captured by attendee Danielle Theis. I can appreciate that this doesn't happen seamlessly. I can appreciate that this doesn't happen easily. I can appreciate that where there is change, there will be a fringe case that feels objectified. But this company is about bringing people together and about loving one another, he continued. The husband of Mila Kunis then tied his message back into Airbnb's mission and turned to address the founder, Brian Chesky. I know this man. I know his heart. I know his initiative. And I know that when a problem gets brought to his desk, that says that there's a discrimination or this is a displacement that he cares. The first thing that he does is try to look at the system holistically and change it to make it better. He then received many loud accolades from the crowd before he concluded with a final encouraging message. You're welcome to a world where we all belong, and if you want to sit down and have a conversation about it, I'm happy to have that conversation with you. While fans might be used to seeing him on the big screen, Ashton has been active in other sectors as well. By the way, that was smooth as fuck. He started a venture fund, A-Grade Investments, back in 2011 with two partners. The fund has since invested in such high-profile companies as Spotify, Foursquare, Fab, Uber, and Dwolla, and Path.
That's a smart man. He invested his money in some good shit.
Yeah. I guess being Steve Jobs rubbed off on him. In other white folks' news, Tony Bennett met his wife while her mother was pregnant with her.
What? That's a performer. Does he sing? He sings, don't he? Mm-hmm. He's not. Is he still alive? No, he dead, ain't he?
He's still alive.
Okay.
How else would he be making news?
No, I thought he was like an old man. I'm sorry.
He is an old man, but he's alive.
Okay.
He's 90 years old, and he's married to Susan Benedetto, who's 56 years old.
Ah, okay.
And according to him, they first met while her mother was pregnant with her. Oh, that's not sweet. What? He met her while she was in the womb of another woman.
Oh, I thought people liked stories like that.
No. In his new book, Just Getting Started, Bennett writes that his first encounter with Benedetto was when her mother was pregnant with her. He was 40 years old.
Yeah, he ain't shit.
According to the book, Benedetto's parents, Marion and Dale Crow, were dedicated Bennett fans. In 1966, they attended one of his shows in New York City. The Crows went backstage, posed for a picture with the twinkly-eyed Italian-American vocalist. As fate would have it, Marion was pregnant at the time with Susan, writes Bennett. It's a photo we all laugh about, knowing the incredible turn of events that followed.
Oh, y'all laugh about it. I bet you went funny then.
She was apparently raised on Bennett's music, and she became the head of his fan club. Later, they met backstage at one of his shows when she was 19, and they later wed after a 20-year courtship. She stuck around from 19 to 39 chasing this one man, and he was already old as fuck. Mm-hmm. Slapping them balls on her chin.
She been faithful. She been real faithful, cause honey, he about to... That's why I thought it was dead. I was thinking him and Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. I was like, these niggas old.
I feel bad. You know, I feel bad for all the old groupies. All the old Tony Bennett groupies that stuck around, you know, thinking that they had the angle on him and one day they was going to trap him. And then it comes around this fresh 19-year-old and just completely steals him right from under their pop clutches. That's just so sad. This is a tragedy for old groupies. You've been groupies for 60 years at this point. You got tattoos and everything of this man. And some fucking kid that was an embryo when he met her comes up and is like, I'll take this, ladies.
Take all of it.
Very disappointing white people news.
Oh, did she bump all them old women with the canes and said, move it, bitch. Kick the canes.
Right. She kicked their walkers away from them.
You know she did.
My hip! Girl, he don't want to know with your broke hip.
Ha, 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 but I'm about to break his.
I'll take it from here. Start spreading my legs. Ha, ha! I don't know what he sings, guys. all right, guys. Let's get to some Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along and Karen plays and y'all are all racist. All right. I'll see you back on screen. So, crisis averted.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Let's see. Let's do this one. 8 people were arrested because they had a fight outside of the African American Memorial.
Oh, shit now.
That's right. Authorities have released the mugshot of the people who were arrested at Texas State Capitol after the unveiling of African American Memorial Monument Saturday. Their names: Joseph Wayne George, Ryan Christopher Garl, Joseph Clyde Hinkle, Robert M. Ussery, David Chow, Richard Murray, Robert Francis Glenn, and Thomas Francis McGuire. Guess the race.
That's white.
Karen's going with white. Going with white people arrested outside of the African American History Memorial.
Them names, I mean.
Okay. Hey, look. I'm not judging. Let's see what the chat room.
I wasn't judging.
Let's see what the chat room says.
Now, if you'd have said they was outside African American history place fighting over fried okra, I might have said black or croaker.
Okay. The chat room says, why isn't there a white history memorial? Virtual blizzard, white, please let them be white. People whose ancestors are not exhibits, I'm guessing. The correct answer is, and everybody guessed the same thing, and everybody got it right, white. And I'll put the picture in the chat so you guys can see it. But yeah, eight white people. They were part of a White Lives Matter rally, it seems. They were wearing White Lives Matter shirts or something, which is funny. Where the fuck do y'all be any other time? White Lives Matter protesting the African American Museum? I wonder who y'all voted for. Okay, I don't actually wonder who you voted for. Shout out to the one dude that was Asian, though. William Chow, whatever his name was. I just threw white in there for y'all because I didn't want y'all to get confused. But shout out to the one dude that was Asian. Just hanging out. He's like Tila Tequila. Just, I'm hanging out with these white supremacists. I just, you know, because like a lost duck. You know, like, what the fuck are you doing over here?
You don't belong here.
I hate niggas too, but we hate you. Okay, I guess.
You can hang until we got the good
snacks.
You. Right.
And your mom did bring the oranges.
You can hang till we kick you out of the group.
Yeah, apparently. Cops. A man used a 7-Eleven cooler as a bathroom. Unable to locate the restroom at a 7-Eleven, a Florida man opted instead to relieve himself in the store's walk-in cooler, where a stack of Busch beer was defiled by the tipsy suspect. Well, Busch beer is already kind of just piss water.
Yeah,
but now it's literally piss water.
Yeah.
According to the cops, Daniel Colin, entered 46. He entered Treasure Island convenience store around 7:30 p.m. looking for a bathroom. When the search failed, Colin opened the door and marked employees only. He then entered what turned out to be 7-Eleven's walk-in cooler. He began urinating on several cases of beer. A store employee who had spotted Colin entering the cooler confronted him and told him to stop. Colin then left the store and drove away. He was driving?
Drunk?
You too drunk to find a bathroom, but you think you not too drunk to drive?
Right.
Wow. Colin was subsequently arrested after his vehicle was pulled over by cops searching for the 7-Eleven suspect. In addition to criminal mischief and burglary charges stemming from the cooler urination, Colin was also charged with drunk driving. After being read his rights, Colin reportedly told police he could not find a bathroom, so he entered the walk-in cooler, because that is also a reasonable thing to do. He's locked up $3,250 bond, according to jail records. Karen, guess the race.
White.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they say. Let's see what you guys have. The reason why the cleaning light is always on for the blue raspberry flavor white. Aww. Ryan Lochte with Better Home Training. Latino white nonsense, peak whiteness. He was provided that mellow yellow white man. Wizard, the correct answer is white. That's That's right, Karen. You got two in a row.
I know. What's wrong?
You doing good, man. I love doing the show with you. You're always so enthusiastic, too. Get in here and you're going to get it this time, huh?
I know. I keep trying. I done failed so many times, y'all. That's why I get two in a row, honey. That's a streak.
I'm trying to make his picture bigger. Let me know if y'all can see it in the chat. It was a small picture, but I tried to blow it up. Yeah, he's a white dude. Yeah, he was like, he definitely regrets that piss.
Like you say, you was too drunk to find a bathroom, but you could drive a vehicle.
And he got away. So it wasn't like he drove off and crashed.
No, they actually found him.
All right, let's do the bonus round, guys.
Double the points and the race.
That's right. The bonus round, a guess the race, double points, double the race. Everything's worth twice. So far, Karen's two for two, as most of you are too. So let's see where we're going to go from here.
I know, right?
All right. Let's see. How about this one? Apparently, there were some foster parents who had, five adopted children.
Okay.
And they won a luxurious home makeover.
Okay.
So then after they won the home makeover, for their kids, cause I want to say they had like two kids that were theirs and five adopted kids, which is, you know, why they wanted to get this new home. After they won, they kicked the five foster kids out and they kicked them adopted kids right to the curb.
Wow.
So they won the house and then they gave away their five kids. A North Carolina couple who was featured on Extreme Makeover Home Edition have been accused of kicking their five adopted children out of home the TV show built them. Devonda and James Friday were given a 3,900 square foot home near Charlotte in December 2012 as part of a popular renovation show.
I remember that.
Remember them?
Yeah, I think we've even been by the home. Yeah.
Oh.
It used to be over there where Derek and them used to stay over there, that area.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme Makeover Home Edition was a hit reality.
Oh, shit. I'm going to turn the volume up. No, damn it. What are you doing?
The show focused on helping families in need by renovating their homes. The Friday family from Lincolnton was featured in 2011.
Extreme Makeover. We desperately need you.
We desperately need you. Come and help us.
Devonda and James Friday had seven children. Five had just been adopted, including Kamaya.
It was exciting. We got in a limo and we're just riding up and then hearing move that bus and then seeing this big house.
Channel 9 covered the story back then as the small family home was renovated into an 8-bedroom mansion. Kamaya and her brother Chris are now adults.
I just felt like I was home.
The five adopted children, who were biological siblings, even changed their last name to Friday. They thought they had found a permanent family.
We made a vow to keep the family together.
And we made it happen.
I felt like they were my mom and dad. I loved them like they were my real parents. I did.
But Chris and Kamaya say everything changed after the TV cameras left town.
What they did to us was just wrong. Threw us all out.
Chris says he was sent to a group home because of a bad attitude a few months after recording the show, but says he was told it was only temporary.
Why did I have to leave, you know? Like, I just didn't understand it, and it just made me feel not wanted, you know?
Kamaya says she was sent to a different group home a few months later and told the same thing.
You gave me away. What parents don't do that? No.
Within a year, they say all five adopted children were gone from the house.
My brother and sister's 5 years old. How can they get in that much trouble where you have to kick them out?
Looking back, they believe their adoptive parents, Devonda and James Friday, were motivated by just one thing.
I know it was all about the money. From the first day, it was all about the money.
That's all she's about, money. It's money with her.
The Fridays ran a nonprofit organization called House of Hope. The Makeover Show created a store for them to operate and gave the nonprofit thousands of dollars worth of donated items, including Sears gift cards.
And she used it for herself.
She used the gift cards for herself.
It was supposed to be a nonprofit store. She was supposed to put things inside the store, but it was used for her use.
Chris says he asked Devonda about using those gift cards for herself.
She'll tell me, don't worry about it.
Chris says Devonda drove a minivan before the show, but soon upgraded to this Mercedes-Benz convertible.
She started driving a Mercedes-Benz?
Yes, sir.
After the show?
Yes, sir.
Today, their nonprofit storefront sits empty, but the Fridays still live in the house. In fact, these property records show that its value has more than doubled since the home makeover.
Damn.
The 49 asked the Fridays to share their side of the story, but they did not want to talk on camera.
He's backing away.
Devonda Friday stopped her Mercedes in the middle of the street when she saw us outside her house, then drove the other way. Her husband James called Channel 9 minutes later and agreed to a phone interview.
Now listen, no one kicked Chris or Kamaya out of the home, okay?
He says the children, still minors at the time, wanted to leave. As for the other three adopted children, James says the Department of Social Services got involved, but he wouldn't explain any further.
That's a social service matter.
Both Chris and Kamaya accused Devonda of wrongfully using the gift cards that were given to her by the show.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. We bought 200 pairs of shoes with those gift cards at Sears for a church town that was doing mission work. We've done no wrong.
There was a family court hearing in 2015 about the adopted children, but those court records are sealed.
They went to court trying to get us all back, but I think it was about the money, too.
The judge, he gets upset and, like, you leave these kids' life for a whole year, then try to come back a year later and say you want them back. It doesn't work like that.
The grown children say they're moving on and will not be keeping their last name.
Oh, I'm going to get it changed soon.
All right, Karen. Guess the race.
That's black.
All right, Karen's going with black. Let's see what you guys had to say in the chat room. Let's see. Bojangles Eater, Black Mudder Suckers, House of Nope. Oh. Tyler Perry's House of Pain, Full Realizations. Where are the little ones? Okay, that's not right. Black, Foreshadowing of Angelina Jolie's daughter at 18, Black. They Black, damn it. So committed to blackness, he adopted kids just so he could get out of their lives. Oh, gave the kids black Kool-Aid, black. The correct answer is, and everybody got it, black.
Sorry. About to get the theme music again.
That was a mistake. Congratulations, Karen. You went 3 for 3.
I know. I'm a treasure this day because tomorrow is probably going to be 0 for 3.
hopefully I get it to come up. But yeah, so they was black, though. Black as hell. It's sad because they showed a bunch of clips of them with the kids when they was minor, like, you know, staying with them during when they were filming the special to get the house.
You know, I believe those kids. I believe that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kicked them out, and like you say, the house doubled, the value doubled of that house, like,
right.
You know, I don't know if you ever seen them a lot, but whenever they do the makeovers,
mm-hmm.
they basically build a house in a week.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, basically 24 hours a day for a week if somebody's redoing it, and they have done a lot of good, great work, and it's one of those things where a year after that, all the children are gone.
Mm-mm.
So you trying to tell me if they wouldn't have picked y'all would have kept all those children?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right? Yeah, it does not look good. I'll put it that way.
Right? I mean, they literally gave the children somewhere to live, and y'all like, nah, y'all got to go.
Last thing. murderer was sent back to prison after confronting a teenage girl in Burrytown Center with samurai sword. A convicted murderer has been sent back to jail after confronting a teenage girl in Burrytown Center with samurai sword. Paul Keitley, guess the race white, was aged just 15 when he murdered a 49-year-old man with a hammer in 1991 and badly injured another man, setting fire to his mattress.
Well, goddamn.
Right. He was finally released from jail in December of last year, and he went to live in a bail hosted in Bury. But Bolton Crown Court heard now at 3:30 a.m. on August 6th, he was in Silver Street, Bury, where the 19-year-old victim was enjoying a night out with her friends. Lindsay Thomas, prosecuting, said the 40-year-old Keitley was behaving strangely and asked her, "Are you talking to me?" Then he turned to face her with a sword in his hand and boasted to the frightened teenager, "I done spent 10 years for murder. It won't stop me doing anything to you."
Oh.
After asking for a cigarette, he put the sword down the front of his trousers, and the girl ran to a nearby club and rang the police. Officers who arrived 15 minutes later searched him and found an 18-inch long blade inside his jeans. He initially claimed to police that he had been given a sword to hold by men who had gone inside the club to get him a cigarette. The court heard how Keitley had spent most of his life in prison. In 1992, he was given a life sentence after killing a man by attacking him with a hammer, copper piping, and pint pot before pouring bleach over him.
Well, goddamn.
Yep. I guess he wanted to get away clean.
Apparently so.
Keitley, then a teenager, also used a lit cigarette to set fire to a mattress where a man lay unconscious. The victim suffered serious injuries. Following the sword incident, Keitley of Wellington Road, Bury, pleaded guilty to making threats with a bladed article. Darren Preston, defending, told the court that Keitley had spent so long behind bars that he was institutionalized and struggled to cope after he was released last year. He was a man who had never in his entire life lived independently and was having to live by himself. He was put in a flat and effectively left to his own devices. He added that Keitley's father had even contacted an MP in a bid to get assistance for his son. Mr. Preston speculated about the reason why Keitley was carrying a sword. This, at least subconsciously, must have been a cry for help to get himself back in custody where he feels more comfortable. But he stressed that the threats to the woman had only been verbal and Keitley had held the sword at his side and not brandished it. He got sentenced to 30 months in prison. And the judge told him, "I think you are a dangerous individual."
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow where we'll recap The Walking Dead. I think it's just me and Karen tomorrow, so we'll see you guys then. And until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.